And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy.
What's going on, brother?
Hey, Shane. So I don't know if you've heard this, but Auburn is resorting to some drastic measures to get the fans riled up for this big Tennessee game. Tennessee, keep in mind, is coming off a weekend where they did not lose a game. Auburn has striping the field. What do you think about this motivational ploy?
Wait, what are they doing now?
So, you know, kind of like Tennessee, how they do the checkerboard crowd?
Yeah.
Well, at Auburn, they do a similar stunt, but instead of checkerboards, it's just basically stripes. So it's orange and blue section by section. So it's, I guess it's kind of supposed to be like tiger stripes.
Oh, I got you. They're pulling out all stops, huh? I'm pretty pumped up about their hype videos that come out this week. Oh, geez, man. Auburn's in rough shape, but I just, I don't know, man. I hope they don't get there. Our luck, they'll have a team, a players only meeting like Thursday, and then they'll get like awesome again. So let's just hope that maybe we cause the player only meeting.
Check out this stat, Shane. This kind of sums up just how poorly Auburn's offense has been playing this year.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Hurts, obviously backup quarterback at Alabama, who rarely sees the field. He basically plays fourth quarter and, you know, when they're running out the clock there at Alabama. He has 5 passing touchdowns on the season. Can you take a wild guess as to how many passing touchdowns Auburn starting quarterback Jarrett Stidham has on the year?
No, 3?
No, that would be 5, the same as Jalen Hurts, but that just goes to show just how weak Auburn's attack is right now when Alabama's backup to the probably Heisman winner has the same amount of damn touchdowns.
That's freaking crazy. So how many games have they played now?
They are 6 games into the season, and they have 5 touchdown passes.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome because, you know, we're worried about our secondary, but we keep this rolling. We may be in good shape, brother.
All right, Shane, let's get on with the news. Big news on Monday. You know, this is the same thing every week. The TV broadcast network stuff, they've announced all the kickoff and television coverage for the SEC games a week in advance. So keep in mind, we're already in the week 7 of the SEC schedule, but this is the week 8 kickoff. So this is not the upcoming weekend, but the following one. So we're just going to run down these games, starting with the noon games. Auburn at Ole Miss. That's going to be the noon game on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Tulsa at Arkansas. That's going to be the noon game on the SEC Network.
Okay.
Alabama at Tennessee, 3:30 CBS.
Oh, Mike, what are they doing? Golly.
Memphis at Missouri, 4 o'clock on the SEC Network. Mississippi State at LSU. That's the 7 o'clock ESPN game. And finally, Vanderbilt at Kentucky at 7:30 on SEC Network. And keep in mind, all those times I've listed are Eastern time. So first thoughts on that, Shane.
What the hell? How did we get a 3:30? I mean, everybody's going to be watching this game. Can we work it in at 12?
Well, I think what Tennessee fans are going to be hoping for, I don't know how much you caught of the Arkansas-Alabama game last week, Shane, but there was lightning in the area, and basically ESPN had to go to, like, blimp cam. Maybe yeah. Tennessee can get the same thing for this Alabama-CBS game.
That'd be crazy. Oh, geez. Is that really the 3:30 game? I think I would rather – I mean, honestly, you're looking at the schedule. 3:30 game is supposed to be the best game. Don't get me wrong. I love my Tennessee Vols. But Alabama is like a machine. Mm-hmm. And anybody that they're going against, if they're not ready, they're going to get smoked. Does Tennessee get smoked? Hopefully not. But 330, Mike, I think they should have had like the Mississippi State LSU game. Hell, even the Auburn Ole Miss, just to just showcase shitty defense in the SEC, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, not to say that these two teams are better necessarily than Alabama and Tennessee, but I would even argue that Vanderbilt at Kentucky is probably going to be a better game. But I, the reason I think this Tennessee was chosen as the CBS game, here's the main reason I would say. LSU, Mississippi State at LSU noted, that's kind of the marquee game in the SEC. But keep in mind, LSU, they always want that night game, so they always fight hard for that. And LSU just had the 3:30 game with the Florida game, obviously.
Yeah.
They got it coming up with this week's Georgia game, and they're likely going to have it for the Alabama game. And CBS can only select these teams so many times, so I think they were kind of running out, and they already hosted them for the Auburn game, you know, LSU at Auburn. So they may just kind of be out of their LSU selections. I think they just wanted to give someone else a shot here. And I think more often than not, they're always going to want to choose Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, and it is it's third Saturday in October. It's a big rivalry, but it's just, I don't know. I guess, who knows? Maybe, never know. At least more people are watching. This is good, you know, good for recruits and stuff, see them on TV. At least they know we need help, you know.
Yeah, and I think also, you know, you have the added storyline of Jeremy Pruitt against Nick Saban, and Jeremy Pruitt knows all those guys. It seemed like, in my opinion, you know, Jeremy Pruitt's got a little bit of, you know, members of his staff that coached at Georgia. He coached at Georgia. He knew the players. I think that really paid off for Tennessee against the Bulldogs last week. So not to say that obviously Tennessee matches up with Alabama, but he's going to know how to exploit a lot of these players, I think.
Yeah, no, for sure. I like it the more I think about it. And who knows, if we beat Auburn, then they should be at the 3:30 spot. So, I'm for it now. You got me convinced.
All right, Shane, so that was week 8. Obviously, let's jump back to this week, week 7. Let's go around the league.
Around the league!
Now let's go around the league. Around the league.
We hadn't decided how we're going to play the guys, so, and I wouldn't tell you if I did. So, you know, I don't mind you asking a question, but I don't need to answer it.
No, I mean, I'll be whistling Rocky Top by the end of the week. All our players, I mean, it's just like, right? I mean, just hear it over and over, and, you know, like every other, every third song, it'll roll through within the crowd noise that we play at practice. So you just get used to it. It's a catchy tune, right? I mean,
this game's going to be a street fight. This game's going to be a street fight. I mean, some of you guys don't know who Kimbo Slice is. Hopefully you do. And you go back to it, man, this isn't a sanctioned fight. This is a street fight. I mean, this is the SEC. So, man, it's time. It's time to put on the hard hat. Lunch bell. Let's get to work.
All right, Shane, starting in Athens. Kirby Smart met the media on Monday. And, you know, he's got a unique perspective on this game. As a Georgia Bulldog, he's played in Baton Rouge, obviously knows coaching there for all those years as an Alabama assistant. So let's just jump in right away to Kirby Smart and his statements on playing at LSU. And here we go.
Well, we move on to LSU, going to a extremely tough environment to play in, one that I both experienced as a player and a lot of times as a coach. Got an incredible environment. Their fan base is really second to none in their atmosphere they create from the time you pull in on the buses to play in the stadium. It's an awesome opportunity for our team to play on a national stage. It's an opportunity for a lot of our guys to play in a venue that a lot of Georgia players never got a chance to play in, and some in the future won't get an opportunity to play in. So that part's good.
All right, Shane. So, you know, I think obviously LSU felt the effects of playing in the Swamp last week. Georgia, you know, they haven't really been tested on the road this year. That Missouri game was a little bit of a test. That South Carolina game, many thought was going to be a test, but it turned out to be no factor at all. Any chance that the Bulldogs get rattled here in Death Valley?
Well, you know, Mike, the thing that worries me about Georgia is how many penalties they had last week. Granted, that you know they are a younger team, and I guarantee coaches all up in them this week, and I think that they'll be a little bit more calm now. And I don't know. I think crowd noise can be an issue. Is Death Valley loud? Yes. But the quickest way you can get a crowd out is coming out, being efficient. And that's what this team's capable of doing. So I don't think he's too worried.
I don't know. I mean, you know, the one thing, you're right about the penalties. But when Georgia has that many penalties and they're still whooping ass in the SEC 41-13 over Vanderbilt, I think that just kind of states how strong of a damn team this is, how balanced of a team this is. But one thing I am kind of concerned about, I think LSU, if they can play turnover free, I think they can play with anybody in this league. It doesn't matter because, you know, while they did lose this Florida game, they did have three turnovers, and I believe that's how many they had the entire season prior to that game. So you mentioned the crowd noise, keeping the fans in it, playing tough. You know, we've seen Georgia be a little bit vulnerable, and I think where LSU is really struggling right now is pass protection. Georgia is last in the SEC with 6 sacks, so it's not like they get to the quarterback a lot. Conversely, Florida, who just played LSU, they have 20 sacks. So you're talking about a team that has half the production here. So if Georgia cannot exploit that weakness on LSU, because I think what LSU wants to do is kind of ground it out. They weren't able to like really run the ball too well against Florida. They had their moments, but I think they can run on this Georgia team. If Missouri can run on Georgia, Tennessee, they couldn't run on Georgia, but that's no surprise. But if LSU can do it, I think they can keep this one close.
Yeah, and I agree with you, brother. I think that this is going to be – I think Coach O is going to come out with clock management, you know, keeping Broussard out there, trying to get – just move the chains, because Georgia, let's face it, has a lot of weapons on offense. But if you can keep that offense off the field, which Coach O wants to do, I think that's what he's going to be aiming for this week.
Now, here's something else that Kirby Smart said that I thought was kind of interesting, Shane, because he was talking about Georgia's upcoming slate. Now, keep in mind, Georgia, they're obviously going to LSU. Then they play Florida and Jacksonville. Then they travel to Kentucky. And then they host Auburn. So here's Kirby Smart on just this upcoming slate that really could be the toughest one in the SEC remaining.
I don't look at it like you guys do. Everybody's talking about this stretch, and I'm looking at it as we played some good football teams, what I think are good football teams. I think anytime you go on the road in the SEC, it's an adventure, it's a tough environment. We're going to play good teams coming up, absolutely. It's tough everywhere in the SEC. Go talk to Tennessee and ask them the road they're dealing with. Go talk to LSU, they just played Florida. I mean, there's no time to cry about it. Nobody wants to hear that. I mean, you got to get ready to go play. And that's why you come to the SEC, is you want to run the gauntlet of challenging teams, unbelievable atmospheres on the road, and that's what the SEC football is about. So our team's got to prepare for that.
All right, Shane, so those four teams that I rattled off, Georgia's next four opponents, LSU, Florida, Kentucky, Auburn, combined 19-5 on the season so far. But Kirby Smart, you know, he says he doesn't really look at it in that kind of way. Any chance that you see Georgia slipping up and losing one or potentially two of these games here?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't count any of these teams out. And, you know, it's funny that you talk schedules because, you know, at the start of the year, they were talking, oh, man, Tennessee, they've got Georgia, Auburn, Alabama, South Carolina. Well, Auburn's not as good as we thought they were. South Carolina's not as good as we thought. Now you got Georgia. Florida's better than we thought they were. Kentucky's better than we thought they were, except for you. I mean, you were pretty high on them. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they still got Auburn on the schedule. So can one of these teams rise up? Absolutely. I mean, this is SEC football, Mike. It happens weekly. Nobody thought in their wildest – I mean, I'd love to see somebody that took a bet on Auburn straight up losing to Mississippi State. There wasn't too many of them. And that's the beauty of the SEC football. Any given Saturday, something can happen like that.
Now let's go to the flip side of this game.
Go Tigers.
Obviously, LSU's coming off their first loss of the season. Tough game against Florida. They had their opportunities, but they didn't get it done here. So here's Coach O just on that, and just, you know, how frustrating it was to not be able to get it done there against Florida.
Very frustrating. You know, it takes 11 to protect the ball. And it starts with pass protection. That first sack fumble was devastating to our team. You know, we go up 14-0. That sack fumble got their crowd back into the game, but it's coming from Joe's blind side. He never saw it. And so that's something that we have to avoid by the protection. The interception, you know, he threw it too late. And maybe he shouldn't have thrown it. He's trying to force it in there.
All right, Shane. So Coach O notes kind of what we were talking about there, that we're not able to protect Joe Burrow. It may be this, if it's in the same situation here against SEC team with the least amount of sacks, obviously LSU is going to be in for huge trouble. Thoughts on LSU? Do you think they can protect Joe Burrow a little bit better this week?
I think they're going to have to make a strong effort for it. And honestly, I like Florida. I don't think Georgia is going to be near as aggressive as Florida was. I mean, they were bringing some blitz packages nonstop. They wanted Burrow to be, uneasy back there in the backfield. So I don't know. Maybe Georgia sees this in the videos and the practices, and they come out and they dial up a little bit more aggressive defense. They haven't had to, really, and I think this week they're going to have to mix things up, because the last thing you want is Burrow just sitting back there picking you apart.
Now, another note to this game, Orgeron did confirm that starting offensive guard Garrett Brumfield, he's going to be out for this game. So that's another blow for LSU. He did not play last week, but you know, he's an emerging player there for the Tigers. LSU has announced that this game is a sellout. It's kind of interesting that that's kind of where we are in college football this day, but you got to host the number two team in the nation to sell one out. I never thought I'd say that, but that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And final thing on this, Joe Burrow. You know, I think he's getting a little criticized a little too much for his performance against Florida. We could talk about that in a minute. But here's LSU starting quarterback on the challenge ahead of facing the number two team in the nation this weekend.
The good news is we still have everything in front of us. And if we win these games, then we're right there. But the bad news is if you lose them, it's a pretty bad season. So, you know, we're going to have to, like I say, every week put our big boy pants on and go fight these teams to the death.
All right, Shane, so it's going to be a damn battle to the death, according to old Smoking Joe Burrow. What are your thoughts on that?
A little extreme. They got him. Yeah. Now, this is going to be a good game. And the reason I like it is because LSU went to Florida. They were expecting the win. They didn't get that victory. Georgia is expecting to go down there and run all over these guys. I think I don't think they're going to – that they feel like they're going to blow them out of the water, but I think that they think they have the better team. But what gets LSU back on the mat quicker than beating the number two team in the nation? So I guarantee you're going to see some hype videos. You're going to see them doing fancy things to get this fan base back into it, make it loud, because this game is important for both teams.
Yeah, and you make a good point there. If LSU were to beat the number two team in the nation, I don't think there's any way that you could put any other one-loss team above them in the college football playoff whenever that comes out. And I would even argue LSU potentially could be ahead of some undefeated teams, like obviously like a UCF, but I don't know, other teams around the league, I would say have a much stronger resume or have a much weaker resume, I should say, than LSU would if they beat Georgia.
Absolutely. Well, and both of them, like even Kentucky, you know, Kentucky dropped one, but they're both in a unique position that they lost to a team that's cross division. So if they win out, they're in the SEC championship. So they got to be upset they're not undefeated anymore, but they can't be completely deflated because they still create their own, you know, path.
All right, Shane, enough of that game. Let's jump to College Station, where we saw something a little kind of interesting. But the star running back for the Aggies there, Travion Williams, he made an adjustment. That's something that you had pointed out to me.
Yeah, I cut it out. You know, unfortunately, I just woke up one day and was like, you know, I don't want to wear it anymore. You know, I just want to go back to the regular look, and then it's gone now.
Was that before or after the game? Was that before or after this game?
That was before the game. Yeah, that was on a Thursday after I went real.
So clearly it's not Samson because you still ran well without her.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, my mom was making a joke about it after. She was like, so I guess that that hairpiece didn't help out after all.
Did you keep it?
Yeah, I still have it. As crazy as it is, I know that kind of sounds weird, but yeah, I still have it.
All right, Shane, I didn't really want to comment on this braided hair situation because I didn't know the deal. But Travion has kind of come clean and like kind of revealed what's going on here. Thoughts on him keeping this braid that he had going?
Well, I you know, it caught me off guard when I first saw him, and at first I thought I don't know what I thought, like maybe that was a mic or something like that. And he kept talking. I was like, is that his hair? You know, I grew up in East Tennessee. We saw plenty of rat tails running around, but I never saw one on the front of their head, you know. So, but I didn't want to say too much because I didn't know if it was something he was doing for, you know, a particular reason or anything like that. But I guess he's just, it's just been growing it out for 8 months and decided to cut it. But he's talking like he's keeping it. So I don't know, man. You know, every player's got a different – you know, Burrow's got the one sock inside out, which he probably needs to reverse that this week. you know, the Aggies, you know, they lost to Bama, and maybe he wanted to mix things up. You know, a lot of football players are superstitious, and I was the same way when I played. If you did good wearing a certain shirt underneath, you wore it the very next week. And, you know, so that's – I think he was just doing it to kind of mix up some superstition.
And I just envision him walking into the barbershop down there at Texas A&M's football facility, kind of like Eddie Murphy and Coming to America, asking for just a clean cut, and they just kind of lob that off. And that's how I like to picture it. But
$12.
All right, so sticking with the Aggies, Jimbo Fisher was just kind of asked about, you know, this is kind of the key to Texas A&M under Kevin Sumlin. They always had their second half collapses, while Florida State under Jimbo Fisher only in second half of games and second half of seasons really came on strong more often than not. So here's Jimbo Fisher on just what he envisions his first year here for the second half of the season in College Station.
Jake, what would you say were the keys to the success of your second half of seasons at Florida State? And are you confident that will happen in your first year at Texas?
Well, that's the plan. I think hopefully by our training and the way we practice – that we're out there in pads and we lift hard during the season along with our time allotments and make sure we allot time for that, how we train in the summers and how we work our off-season conditioning and how we go about it. The object is to be a better team in December than you were in August, September. And that's what it's our whole goal in everything we do and the way we practice, the way we play, and the whole dynamic of the way this organization's set up is to do that. So that's when you want to peak. So we'll find out. We'll see. But I say this, and I say this before, in our GPS and our numbers and our things in practice, we're getting faster. Guys are staying up for longer periods of time. Accelerations are getting quicker. Top speeds are staying there longer. You know what I'm saying? So in our numbers and our physical testing that we see so far, that's reflecting it.
All right, Shane. So Texas A&M under Kevin Sumlin, like I said before, they've been haunted by this in the past. A&M, you know, it seems like every year they were 5-1 or 6-1 or what have you, and then they'd be 8-4 at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
How big would it be for Texas A&M fans? You know, they're so bought in on Jimbo Fisher, but if they can have a fast start, let's say, you know, in their last six games here, they go 5-1, or hell, if they go 6-0, I mean, how ecstatic will the 12th man be down there in College Station?
Oh, God, it'd be huge, man. That'd be absolutely huge. I just think, and that's what's awesome about that environment, is just they're so pumped up all the time, and they do those little chants and things, and Jimbo even talked about learning some of the new traditions. Like, he doesn't even know all the traditions they're doing yet. So this fan base is really bought into him down there.
Yeah, and this is just the thing that I've been hammering home since the preseason. I think this was never going to be Texas A&M's year. But as long as the players have bought in and they really seem to, and the defense has turned around, you know, they can just build so much momentum. I believe they have the nation's number one recruiting class right now. That's just more momentum for them. 2019, if they finish strong, I think you're going to see a lot of people preseason top 10 for this A&M team, and people are going to be circling the Aggies as Alabama's biggest competition in the West next year.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. I like the direction they're going, and like I said earlier, there's very few teams in the SEC that's going to be able to compete with these guys in their facilities because they have bought in. I mean, you talk about buying in. This university has spent millions of dollars on stadiums, on, you know, just getting this thing to where they want it to be. So I you got to commend them for that. And eventually it's going to pay off. They got the coach. They've got the facilities. Next thing you know, the recruits are going to start rolling in, and this team's going to be competitive in the West in the future. I firmly believe that.
All right, Shane, so speaking of Alabama, let's jump to Tuscaloosa.
Roll Tide!
Some bad news to share here on Monday, but Travion Diggs, starting cornerback junior for Alabama there, he's probably going to be lost, they didn't say for the season, but they said indefinitely. He's broken, I believe he's broken something in his foot. Thoughts on, you know, Alabama, they have a very inexperienced secondary. This was basically their most veteran cornerback here. He's going to be gone for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I think he's out for the year, man. Broke foot, and the coach didn't even know about it until yesterday. I think they did the MRI. So, yeah, that's a huge hit. And, yeah, granted, you don't notice it right now, but there's some teams on this Alabama schedule that may – it may matter, because say what you want, the kid was vocal. The kid was a team leader back there. And it's like, it's one thing to say, okay, who's going to step up? But it's another when it's a captain of your secondary.
And this is a bad time, obviously, Shane. So that's something that Nick Saban touched on during his Monday media availability, saying, you know, Missouri, this is probably the best offensive team they faced. So here's Alabama's coach on the task at hand this week, welcoming the Tigers and Drew Locke to town.
Very important that we have a great week of preparation. You know, this week, I think this is by far the best offensive team that we've played, you know, to this point. Derek Dooley's done a great job with this offense. They were always explosive, but now they have great balance on offense. They're running the ball for over 200 yards a game, and one of the leading passing teams in the country. You know, Drew Locke is an outstanding quarterback. We got a couple good runners, got really explosive receivers and a great tight end.
Now, Shane, I heard some Missouri fans kind of mocking this, Nick Saban saying this is the best offensive team they face. But, I mean, you look at the opponents Alabama's faced outside of Ole Miss, who – we've seen time and again when they match up with someone that actually has talent, they can't do anything. I think Saban might be right by saying this is the best offense they've faced.
Yeah, I honestly, looking at their schedule, I think you're right. I think this is the best offense. And but, I mean, they've got the best offense. I mean, they probably see – I mean, honestly, think about this, Mike. You got your ones out there practicing against the twos of Alabama. Mm-hmm. They're fast. I think they're still facing their best offense, probably in practice, if you ask me.
Well, if you want to go down that road, that's something else we've kind of wanted to touch on here. This is not an Alabama coach, but this is obviously Arkansas defensive coordinator John Chavis, the most experienced defensive coordinator in the SEC. He's faced Alabama 31 consecutive years.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did he say this is the best Alabama offense he's likely seen, he said he seemed to suggest this is the best offense he's ever seen.
Dude, that's crazy.
I've never started a game, or we've never started a game that way. We played three plays. They gained 160 yards and 14 points. You know, and from there on, it didn't get much better. So,
you faced Alabama 31 times, I think it is, as a coach. 32, I guess, is a GA too. I mean, how does that Alabama offense rank with the other ones you've seen?
You know, it, how can you say anything other than it's probably the best? And I think, you know, as you see them, you know, they've kind of evolved to a different style of offense than, you know, since when Coach Saban got there. You know, they were a big pro team. I ran the ball. They still do a little bit of that, but they're a lot more spread, a lot more RPOs. They got obviously a very, very talented quarterback, and he's got a lot of talent to get the ball to, and they did a great job of preparation and a great job of executing. So I don't know. I used to say 1995 we faced an Ohio State team in bowl game that I thought maybe was the best at that time, the best offense we'd ever played against. I can't say that any longer.
All right, Shane, so that was John Chavis on this just incredible Alabama offense. I mean, what does it say to the Chief, you know, someone as experienced as him, just kind of praising Alabama's offense this much? Do you think he's right?
Oh, man. I'd love to see Chief on Tell the Truth Wednesday or Thursday or whatever. Holy shit, that was the best offense I've ever – I mean, what did you expect me to do? I've got these guys to work with, and you want me to block that? He said, hell, it was, what, a minute and something seconds, three plays. They're already at 160 yards total offense. He was like, I mean, what can you do if you're a defensive coordinator facing a team like that? I mean, this team – Bama's humming, brother, and like I said, I may actually watch this game this week. I usually don't watch Alabama, but just because first two scores, I'm out. But I like to see this one just because I want to see what the defense does against Drew Locke.
All right, Chad. So speaking of Arkansas, let's jump down to Fayetteville, where Chad Morris met with the media on Monday as well, and you know, similar theme here. His defense, I wouldn't say exposed, because Alabama's exposing everybody. They looked pretty unsteady there. They gave up almost 700 yards of total offense. But now Arkansas faces Ole Miss, and they've got an explosive offense as well. So here's Chad Morris on just Ole Miss and all their outstanding offensive players they have to shut down this week.
He's every bit as good as anybody we've seen this year. There's no question on that. He's very explosive. He's a great competitor. The guy gets a ball in his hand. AJ he's electric with it.
I want to follow up on that with the rest of their skill talent. What you think of Ta'amu and what they're doing offensively, their scheme?
Well, you know, they do a great job. Again, they do a lot of things that put defenses in some conflict situations, but. You know, Jordan has done a really good job of, you know, coming in last year as a quarterback and taking on his role. He's very much a dual threat. He runs really well, got really good size. I mean, he's 6'2", 210, runs well, does a good job keeping his eyes down the field. That's really kind of when he becomes to where he could hurt you the most is when he is flushed out of the pocket and his eyes stay down the field. And you got to keep your eyes on those wide receivers if you're a DB. And I mean, you know, this is a guy that's only thrown what 67 incompletions all year long. He's almost thrown for 2,000 yards and 13 touchdowns, and only turned the ball over four times. And so he's playing very effective right now and very impressive.
If Chad Morris's unit could score 31 on Alabama, you got to think they could probably score 60 on Ole Miss. Ole Miss may score 60-7 in this game. Is this going to be the highest scoring game of the week in the SEC?
I would think so. I mean, like you said, just dumb man's math. If you're looking at it, you're saying this could be – what's this be like a 13-6 ball game we never saw coming? Like Ole Miss all of a sudden finds defense. But, no, I think Arkansas can score 31 points on Ole Miss. But unfortunately, they're going to need more points to beat Ole Miss, because I don't think Arkansas is going to be able to slow them down.
Well, I don't know about that, Shane. I think, you know, like we've seen Ole Miss, when they face SEC competition, they get, you know, slowed down significantly. I think their numbers just get so blown up playing these scrub teams, and they really do out-talent them, and I think it's just kind of pure and simple. But when Ole Miss plays these other teams, not to say that Arkansas is the caliber of an LSU or an Alabama, they're clearly not, but they do have some really good players. And I think that, like I said, Alabama just makes everyone look foolish on defense. So I don't know. I think Arkansas continues to improve. I keep saying that, but I wouldn't say shocked, but I'd be pretty surprised if they gave up an insane amount to Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss will score, but I don't think it's going to quite be a shootout-style game.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. I think Arkansas is doing better, but I don't know. I watched, like I said, I was glued to the Ole Miss game just because of the offensive performance. And if that team shows up, Arkansas is going to have their hands full because, like I said, they've got some serious weapons out there.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Knoxville, where Jeremy Pruitt met with the media.
Good
And bad news here as well, because defensive back, true freshman Trayvon Flowers, he is hurt, broken collarbone. He, and all indications are he's out for the year. How big of a blow is this for the Vols?
Shit, man. You know, this is not what we needed right now. We've been pretty good on the health front, and this one kind of caught me off guard. Did you get the specifics on it?
Yeah, so apparently he was just hurt in practice last week. You know, it is a bye week, but for, you know, obviously most people should know this, but they, this team still practices during the week. They're just obviously not prepping for an opponent, but Pruitt said he was diving for an interception. I think he just kind of landed awkwardly and broke collarbone. He's had surgery, but I'm told that his season is for sure done if that's the case.
Yeah, that's huge, man. I mean, because – I mean, the defense actually has been looking better back there, and he was a big part of it. So anytime you lose a starter like that, it's going to be a huge blow. Benefit is they are going against Auburn, and I don't know if, you know, if Stidham can even throw it back to the safety position right now.
Yeah, and you mentioned Stidham there, but I think obviously the real test for Tennessee in this game is Auburn's front. And, you know, the Tennessee offensive line have been struggling all year. So that was one of the questions Pruitt faced on Monday. Any chance that, you know, Tennessee's had 2 weeks to prepare for this one, will they make strides on the offensive line and just kind of, or maybe take something that they saw from Mississippi State?
You know, it's funny with Tennessee, because I am a huge homer. And I do this every time. It's like,
he's starting to buy in, folks.
That's what, it's that time, man. It's halfway through the week, and, you know, at first I was like, golly, there's no way. I hope we keep it close, and then it gets a little bit closer, and then you're like, what if we pull this thing off? the fact of the matter is our offensive line has looked a little better against Georgia. The benefit is they've had an extra week to prepare for this game. They know Auburn's front is legit, because they are. They got a lot of talent on that side of the ball. Mm-hmm. And the last time they had this much talent going against them, other than Georgia, Georgia's got some talent, but Florida, I mean, they were all over them. And so I think they're going to have to come out. They're going to have some quick plays for him to get the ball out, you know, screens, things like that, to keep this defensive front honest.
Yeah, and that was something that was asked of Jeremy Pruitt. Mississippi State, you know, they've been struggling on offense. They come out, they run for 349 yards on this Auburn front. So Jeremy Pruitt was just asked about Mississippi State, how they were able to do that. And this is typical Pruitt style. He's kind of throwing cold water on Tennessee's fans' expectation, but here's Pruitt on how Mississippi State got that done.
Well, they were willing to run their quarterback, I think, 25 times in the game. I don't know how many times he ran it, but every time I flipped on the channel, he was running with the ball. So, it was basically wildcat. You know, that's a tough offense to defend because you've got a quarterback who can run the football but also throw it at the same time. So, it's tough to defend. It's tough in this league to do that. You know, sometimes you kind of get a game like that last week and the quarterback runs it that many times, it makes it tough to stop. You know, I can tell you this, that quarterback's really sore today. And, you know, in this league, you do that over and over and over again, you better have another one.
All right, Shane, so Jeremy Pruitt's kind of predicting Nick Fitzgerald's going to get broken in half by the end of the season, apparently, and Tennessee does not have a guy like Nick Fitzgerald. So what were your thoughts on Jeremy Pruitt basically saying, we don't have the people to do what Mississippi State did?
It's true, man. You have an advantage when you run like a wildcat type of offense because you, in essence, have an extra blocker. Mm-hmm. But when it's your quarterback – you've got a risk there because he's getting tackled 25 times a game. So I like what Pruitt said, you know. He goes, they look good doing it. He says, but you know he's sore.
And, Mississippi State's not going to come out and say this, but I would bet that was kind of part of the game plan, knowing that this week they're on a bye. So they knew Nick Fitzgerald would have 2 weeks to recover. They, like I said, they desperately needed that one. Their backs were against the wall. So, mm-hmm. Beautiful job there at Mississippi State staff getting that done. But like Pruitt says, It's going to be tough for Fitzgerald to do that week in and week out.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Shane, so that's all the news we got around the league. But one thing I did want to hit on, this is something kind of new. We haven't been doing this every week, but I figured we might as well start doing this on our Monday night recording here. But the over-unders for all the upcoming games, those were released on Monday. So we're going to run down these and just get your thoughts on them.
Okay.
Tennessee at Auburn, the over-under is 45.5. That's the lowest of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Florida at Vanderbilt, 49 is the over-under. Georgia at LSU, once again, it's 49, so the same there as Florida-Vanderbilt. Texas A&M at South Carolina, the over-under is 51.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss at Arkansas, the over-under is 72. 72. And the high of the week, Missouri at Alabama, 74.5. Thoughts on those?
I like it, man. I like it. I for some reason I've got this feeling that the Alabama score is not going to be near as high as it's been in the past. I think, you know, if Odom's going to make a ball game out of this, I think he's got to do some more clock management. He can't just let Drew go out there and just sling it three times and go three and out, or this will get ugly. So I do kind of like that one, that over and under. What do you think?
Well, the question there, you mentioned Barry Odom. How many times is he going to onside it here?
None. He better not, man.
I don't know. I'm looking at that Tennessee-Auburn 45. Those ones that are always really low, I kind of like to go over, mm-hmm. because those are kind of traps, kind of like you're saying, the high number, you kind of always want to go low. So I kind of like both of those. Yeah. I could certainly see Florida-Vanderbilt being the low score of the game this week. Georgia LSU, right there at 50. That's an attractive one. I think everyone is going into that thinking it could be a defensive game, and not saying that it won't be, but I could certainly see that one going over. That's kind of one I've got my eye on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one.
Any more thoughts before we move on to that?
No. I don't bet a lot on the over-unders. Probably a good thing, but. But I am interested in some of these. I honestly surprised the Arkansas score or wasn't the highest. I think they'll be the highest scoring teams this Saturday.
All right, Shane, last thing we got here, we got a little bit of mailbag.
Oh!
It's here! Listen up, it's time for mail call!
Don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer it. You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
My turn, what do you got?
Okay, here we go. What color is a fire truck?
Oh God, I always get these. All right, fire truck. Fire truck. What color are those red fire trucks?
All right, Shane, so this comes via Reddit. This comes from our boy TH. He just wants to know, what are y'all's viewing experience every Saturday? Does Mike have to travel to the games for work? Does Shane go to the Tennessee games at all? Do you guys watch together? Do you watch at a bar, etc.? And I'll let you go first, Shane. How do you take in these games normally on a Saturday?
I tell you, it just really depends. I've been to games. I've traveled to games. But it's hard to beat the 63-inch TV in my living room, you know, the air conditioning, the bathroom's right here if I need it. It'd be one thing, I think, maybe if we were competing. 2016, I did make my rounds. We went up to the Bristol game. So I don't get to go. I don't go to the games that much right now, just mainly because of my job, because sometimes I have to work on Saturday. So. But that's why they made Hulu, and Hulu's with me everywhere.
And as for me, currently I'm not really allowed to go to the games. I don't know if that's the right word, but I'm kind of told to stay at home and just take in as much action as I can because I'm working the news desk there for Saturday Down South, and I just have to be on top of literally everything that comes in, whether that's watching the games or, I'm getting phone calls, I'm getting emails, I'm getting DMs on Twitter. I'm monitoring Twitter. I'm monitoring my emails because schools are constantly emailing me with quotes and videos and stuff like that. So there's just so much going on. And as for my viewing experience, I set up three TVs, sometimes four. I really just go off of how many SEC games are on at the same time. And rarely are there four, but or I should say, especially when they get in a conference play, really when I only need four is kind of rivalry week and at the beginning of the season when they're kind of doing the non-conference slate, you know, and you got you got all these cupcake damn games, but I still take all those in as well. And for anyone out there that's still, you know, watching it on cable, what I recommend, what I do, and I've been doing this for 3 years now, I am on YouTube TV. Before that, I had PlayStation View, but basically what you can do with those services, you can sign up. You know, I get all the action. I don't miss any of the SEC games, and I just pay month to month. I'm paying like $35 right now, and then when the season ends, I cut all that, so I've got no commitments. It's great, and it just comes with free DVR, so I record every single game, and on Sunday, I watch them all back. On Monday, I watch them. Tuesday, I'll watch them, so I'm watching them all week. But that's how I do it. And, you know, I kind of wish I could go to the games, but when you go to a game, particularly if it's say, you know, a night game, you kind of lose out on so much action during the day. I kind of understand why my work doesn't want me to do it. I think they want me to be somewhere where I have reliable internet and I'm just basically not going to miss a thing. So, for the time being, that's kind of my situation, but I can't complain. I'm getting paid to watch and talk and write about football, so you're never going to hear me bitch about that.
Yeah, for sure. And like, I same thing. I got the Hulu going on, so like, just for instance, I was watching the Florida game, Florida LSU game, but on my phone I was viewing the Kentucky. And then if I needed, I'd switch it around, move it onto the TV. So it's kind of nice. The only thing is, man, I don't know why, but that lag drives me nuts, man. There's like a delay. And I strongly recommend, especially if you are trying to watch multiple games at one time, but it sucks. Like if you're watching your favorite team and then all of a sudden you get a text message that, oh my God, what a touchdown. And then like 5 seconds later, you watch the touchdown. It's like, you want to turn your phone off. So, but I do strongly recommend cutting the cord because it is, it does save money. So, but enough about that. Until they sponsor, I'm not going to support them anymore. I do have a comment on our Reddit page. And of course, if you're on Reddit, you can go to that SEC podcast and find us there. This is from Poderous, Poderous, UK fan here. Radio went completely silent. I'm sorry. Radio went. You're supposed to be reading these things. Let's try this again. UK fan here. Radio went completely silent about our team after this weekend. Thanks for giving the little guys some love every week, no matter what. Great show, and go Cats. Brother, I appreciate it. And I tell you what, you're not a little guy. You're still ranked top 25. And Kentucky, man, I'm telling you, they're still in it. And you kind of like being in that situation. It's not like – like if Tennessee dropped to Florida, then we got to wait for Florida to lose twice. It's you lost a good, you lost a game, honestly, a game I think they should have won. And, but you still control your destiny. You got some tough teams ahead, but if you win out, and that's what the coaches, that's what Stoop's saying right now. Hey guys, everybody's really against us right now, but that's okay. They've been against us this whole season. We go out, we put up every week. We make it to an SEC championship, and by God, we'll be in the playoffs. So that's kind of the attitude they need to have. And they just need a rebound, man. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, and they're going to be favored in every game they got remaining outside of that Georgia game, but at least that's at home. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, how many people were picking Florida to beat LSU? Me. How many people were beating Florida to beat Mississippi State? Not me. But, I mean, these upsets happen. I mean, it's just, you just never know about these type of things. So I'm not ruling it out. I don't think we've seen anything from Georgia outside of that South Carolina game that says they're a world beater. So, you know, you get a break here or there, you win the turnover battle, anything can happen. But hell, if you lose that game, what, if you win 9 or 10 games this regular season, that's a hell of a season that just about anybody would take in the SEC outside of Alabama or Georgia.
Hell yeah. I'd take it right now, brother. Hey, I did get a comment on Twitter. This is from Wayne Harling. You can follow him at SC Flabbergaster. South Carolina fan at Big Orange Vols says, I'm begging you to put money on Texas A&M this week. We're going to need all that mojo we can get.
Well, there you go, Shane. You officially are the Corso of the SEC podcast. People are fading your picks like it's nobody's business.
Oh, man, I'm so bad. And, you know, honestly, and I usually don't bet on my team, but I think I'm going to go with Tennessee this week.
So there you go, gamble. Vol Nation. You can thank Shane for this humiliating defeat you're about to suffer.
Oh, I got to do it before the points go any lower. So I'll be dropping that in tonight.
All right, I think that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you, everyone, for joining in. We really appreciate it. Thank you, Shane, for joining me as always. And if you made it this far, if you wouldn't mind going one step further, rating and reviewing us on iTunes, it really helps us out. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Go Vols. Around the league! Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Do you got the fan on?
Oh, fuck. I forgot. Yeah.
Sounds like you're in that blimp. 1 second, Mark.
Okay.
Might as well have a little air while we wait. Exactly.
It's hot as shit, man. The AC's busted here.
Yeah, give me a couple seconds. What's going on with it? It's about a week now.
Well, I think we're just waiting it out, man. We're supposed to get a cold front this week.
Oh, man, I love it. I love it. One second. You got like one more minute.
It's hot in here, man.
I got you, man. I'm sorry. Okay.